Scott, sir, Sunday PM, January 20th, 2013.
Good evening. I'll apologize in advance for my voice. It's a little scratchy, but thankfully the Lord promises that His word will not return void, even if my voice does. So hopefully we'll get through all this tonight. Let's begin in Psalm 25. In Psalm 25, I'll just start by reading verse 14 here. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." This is a psalm that I've been reading in the past couple weeks and spending some time meditating on. And as I came across verse 14, it kind of really just stuck in my mind, and the Lord kept bringing it back to me in repeated situations. But just to think the secret of the Lord, to think of the secret place of the Lord, and then Brother Doug mentioned this morning, the secret things belong to the Lord. And it just kept coming back to me, that thought of an intimate place with the Lord. And He is willing to share that with me and with you, to think that the Almighty God, the Lord of all creation, would allow me to draw near to Him and share a close place of fellowship was just overwhelming to me. And as I think about who I am, to think, man, it's incomprehensible for me to think a person like myself could draw near to the Lord, His enemy. To think of Paul, who calls himself the chiefest of sinners, and to any of us sitting here tonight, how wonderful and how marvelous truly is the love and grace of God. And as I thought about this passage, I kept kind of going back to the context of the psalm around it, and it really broke down into a very basic lesson for me, and just it's kind of a summary of our daily walk with the Lord. And we start with the foundation of being saved and being able to come into the presence of the Lord, and then going on and making petition unto Him. And as we go, we'll see some virtues that we can have in our daily life of being humble, of keeping His word, of fearing who He is. And it draws us into a closer relationship as we walk with Him day by day. And that's kind of the groundwork of where we'll go tonight. Let's go back to verse 8 in Psalm 25, and we'll just read 8 through 14. In Psalm 25, 8, we read, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He teaches the sinner in the way. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches in His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. He Himself shall dwell in prosperity, and His descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He shall show them His covenant." And again, as I said, it's just been encouraging to me, this psalm, and the basis of our daily walk, and just kind of the routine, if you will, that we get into, just walking with Him, but remembering some of these fundamental truths that we want to keep in the forefront of our minds and not be distracted, let them not get pushed back by the cares of life or whatever else may come upon us on a daily basis, but just to think and to meditate what He allows us to participate in with Him on a daily basis. And again, it's not an all-inclusive lesson. It's not a seven-step program or anything like that. It's just a simple summary that the Lord laid on my heart as I walk daily, just to be focused and to yield to His Spirit, to allow Him to work in us and through us. And as I said, we begin here with David petitioning the Lord, and we see that as he petitions the Lord, he recalls some of the promises of God, and what a good lesson for us we'll see. And though we were sinners, He redeems us. He hears our voice. He draws us in, and He teaches us. He leads us as we humble ourselves, as we keep His word, as we fear Him. And as we do all these things, it brings us a daily victory, allows us to come to know the secret place of the Lord. And again, as we start, David comes and he petitions the Lord, and he incorporates some of the promises. And what a good place for us to start as we petition the Lord, just to stand on the promises of God. For we know all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. And in, we see that David says, "The Lord is good and upright." And so many forget that basic truth that the Lord is good and that His ways are upright, His ways are perfect. So many have this picture that God is out to get them, or that somehow destruction is just inevitably going to come upon them. But the Lord is good, and David remembers that as he comes before the Lord. The Lord is good. I'm coming to Him, to the God of all creation, to Him who can make these effects on my life that can lead me in the way of truth. And we can place ourselves on that same foundation, secure and steadfast, knowing that upon that foundation, our lives can grow. The Spirit will cause us to grow into a holy temple before the Lord. We can rest securely in Him. We can rest knowing that He works all things for our good. And we read Romans 8:28 over and over again. I think upon it in my life over and over again. But the power that it holds, when we understand, we come before Him in prayer, the Lord is already working all things for my good. That's our starting point. We don't have to come to Him and say, Lord, I need You to work this good for me. He's already working good in our lives. How amazing, how blessed we are. And when we fall on our knees with that understanding, man, we're starting in a good spot, and so many aren't. David pleads in verse 11, he says, take away my iniquity, for it is great. But he knows that a great God can do that as he yields and surrenders and gives it over to Him. And that great gift that we have to be able to stand before the God of all creation, I think in Ephesians, a familiar passage, but one that I'll just paraphrase to you, but it says, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. How blessed we are to be built upon that solid foundation, to go from strangers, to go from the enemy of God, to be calling His child, to be called His beloved. What an amazing place, a privileged place we are in. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer enemies. We no longer suffer that tragic fate of those who have no hope and are without God. How sad, how terrible a life it must be. But because of that foundation that we have that's immovable, we can come boldly. We can come with confidence. We can come, as David did, and make our petitions known, resting on the promises of God. Let's go to 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, we'll just read verses 2 through 4 here. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How wonderful that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. And they're not just to give to us for our fun or our pleasure, but to give us so that we may be partakers of the divine nature. We have been given this special place. This entrance has been opened unto us to come before the Lord, to present our needs, knowing that He will never leave us, that He has not left us orphans, that He has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide and direct us. We know His ways are perfect, and as we come to Him, just as David did in this psalm, we can come knowing that our prayers will be listened to, they will be heard, and they will be answered according to His plans, His purposes in our lives. Regardless of what it is, and it's not to say we don't have questions, and these lessons on Job have been wonderful. It's not that we don't have questions, but we can come and lay our needs before the Lord, knowing that He will handle them. Even if we don't understand them, we know that He will continue to work in them and through them in our lives as we surrender to Him. As we move on in the psalm and kind of going off of Peter's thoughts here of being partakers of the divine nature, in the psalm we see that a few different descriptions here that says those whom God teaches and those He leads. And in verse 9 we see that He teaches the humble, that He teaches those who keep His word, and that He teaches and guides those who fear Him. And that's kind of the three virtues we'll look at. It's kind of our daily walk and our daily foundation in our lesson tonight. And as we go on, hopefully we'll see, as we allow those to work in us and through us, they draw us into that secret place of the Almighty God. First, as we humble ourselves before the Lord, as David mentioned in the psalm, the humble He guides, the humble He leads and teaches and directs. And the thought of humble here can have the meaning of poor or weak or afflicted. It can also have the thought of gentleness or lowly or low-lying. And we see that He teaches the sinner back in verse 8, that He teaches a sinner. And again, that foundation that we have, of which we all were, that God sent His lowly Son, sent His Son to this lowly world to redeem us in our poor estate. Let's go to Philippians 2. And a familiar passage here, but one that I don't think we can pass over when talking about the humility and of the Lord and the humility that we need to exemplify in our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 5 through 8. Verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross." And what an amazing passage, and we don't have time to meditate long on it, but to think that the Creator himself, the Almighty God, gave up his throne to come to redeem you, to redeem me. And I thought it interesting this morning in talking about kind of the creation and the Creator, and I thought in my mind to think that Christ, as a part of this foundation, that a part of the creation himself, would choose to give all that up to come down to this world to redeem us. And I thought of, as I was sitting there thinking of people who create things today, and they do it to make fame and fortune for themselves, like some of our technology friends, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. They didn't create just for fun. I mean, they had fun, I'm sure, doing it, but they did it to produce a product that to in turn make a lot of money. And they didn't just, you know, give the credit to somebody else. They took the credit for themselves, and rightfully so. It was their product. But to think, if they would have said, you know, we're just going to anonymously put this product out and let people use it and enjoy it for no cost, you know, would be crazy. I would enjoy it more if it was no cost. But to think the Almighty God took all that he had and comes and freely offers it to us, humbling himself to the point of death, the death of a cross. How amazing that is, to come, become a servant, to die a criminal's death. What true humility we can imitate by following after him. For we read in James, "God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." He teaches us in the way we should go. He sees and knows our heart, and the proud are a reproach to God. But we can consider others better than ourselves. We can come and humble ourselves before the throne of the Almighty God. In 1 Peter, it's exhorted us unto us, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares upon you." God directs, he guides, he enlightens our path as we come and lay before him and ask him to direct our every thought, our every action. And to think what a contrast that is with the enemy, who just yearns to blindfold and to direct and to keep in bondage to the gates of hell. And our Lord and Savior is the complete opposite. He wants our eyes to be open. He wants us to have a singleness of mind towards him, but to understand that his plans and purpose are to prosper us, to bring us closer to him. And as we come before him, that mighty hand of God will lift us up. The next thing that we see in our psalm is that he blesses those who keep his precept, those who keep his word. And the thought of keep here is to guard, to protect, to maintain. And the promise is to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies, those who walk in his will by taking heed according to his word. Let's go to Matthew in chapter 4. In Matthew 4:4, just one verse here we read, and it's a familiar one to us. It says, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And a simple verse, a simple statement, but one that holds tremendous value as we understand the treasure that we have to be able to live by the word of God, to live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. The things that we truly value in this life, in a natural sense, we hold dear and near to our lives. We may lock them up, we may put them away. Daily, we need to hold dear and protect the word of God, to guard that testimony that's been given to us, that as we go through our daily lives, that it's more than just the eating and drinking here. It's the bread of life, that we can allow ourselves to be nurtured on that, to grow up in that, to be fed by that. And we can partake of the bread of life, which is Christ. It is truly priceless. Let's go to Luke 11 now. In verse 27 and 28. And this is one of those passages that reminds me that the word is living and active, because it's a passage I've read many times before, but it just really stuck out to me as I read it this go around. In Luke 11:27, it says, "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" What a profound statement to think of this time and the desire of the Jewish women to bear children and to bear a male child and to be the one that might bear the Messiah. To think of the value they placed on that thing, and this woman cries out in the crowd, kind of exemplifying that. But Christ quickly answers and says, no, more blessed than that is to hear the word of God and to keep it. Saints, we are tremendously blessed to have such access that we have to the word of God, to have Bibles in every hotel room across this country, to have multiple copies in our own homes, to have this device here that's got, I've got 7 different translations sitting up here. I mean, it's amazing the access we have to the word of God. And I hope that because we have such easy and free access to it, that it doesn't devalue it in our lives, that we don't take it for granted, but that we, as Jesus says here, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, that we have that value placed upon it. Again, it was a tremendous blessing for Mary, but how much greater the blessing for us to hear the word of God, to read it, to study it, to pray on it, to meditate on it. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And daily, I hope we remember that as we come humbly before the Lord in thanksgiving and praise, that we also come daily wanting and desiring to hear his word, to keep it, for it's the utmost thing we can possess, and it brings us great blessing. Paul exhorts Timothy, says, "Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Guard this valuable possession that we have." And again, if I had many valuables, I'm sure I'd have a safe in my house, but because I lack those valuables, I don't bother having a safe. I just keep my wallet with me, and that's about as good as it gets. I guard it. I keep it on me. I don't just leave it lying around the house. In the natural, we protect things, but how much greater do we need to guard the word? And that, as we learned this morning, and I greatly appreciate the lessons on doctrine, and they never grow old. I appreciate my children being able to hear these simple truths, that we don't have to be intimidated into compromise. We can guard and protect this wonderful deposit that we have been given. We can take value of it. We can protect it, and we can stand for truth. Again, just as in the natural, we protect things. And a thought that popped into my head was on our wedding day, the ring that I had bought for my wife, I gave it to my dad because he was the best man. And I said, "Dad, you got to hold this. Don't let anything happen to it. I can't mess this up, because if it messes up today, I might not get another chance. She might realize this guy's a knucklehead. So, Dad, you got to come through. Take this ring, protect it, guard it, keep it." And he was successful and accomplished his mission. But in the spiritual, how much greater do we need to take what God has given to us and not just hold on to it, but allow it to transform us, allow the Spirit to bring application daily into our lives. And again, just as we find something of great value, we tend to take hold of it. And for my kids, that may mean finding a quarter on the ground that we've dropped. Man, they snatch it up, and it's a big deal to them. We need to take hold and remember the value that we have, to know that, to not be ashamed of the treasure of Christ. In Timothy, we read, "For I am not ashamed. I know whom I believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day." To think we can hold fast that pattern, we can hold fast the sound doctrine, knowing that not only we can keep it in our lives, but what we commit to the Lord, he keeps us, he protects us. And oftentimes, when I teach a class at work, or even in talking to my children in chores or projects, We say, you'll get out of it what you put into it. If you put all your effort into this project, if you put all your thought and energy into this, it'll be a good project. Or you'll get something out of this class if you put the effort and the energy into listening to it. And again, it's not in the spiritual sense of gritting our teeth and bearing down to make it happen, but it's making ourselves available to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us by being in the meeting, by being on our knees, by studying the Word of God, allowing it to transform us, and how beautiful it is that Christ will keep us and what we commit unto him. We will be overcomers. We will be victorious. And the last characteristic in this little passage that David says, it says, to those who fear him, the Lord makes known His way, His will, and as we get to that secret place, but to fear has that thought of to revere, to be morally reverent. And sadly, many fear God today because they're terrified of His judgment, and rightfully so, for if you don't hold His word, if you don't accept His free gift of salvation, you should be scared. But we don't come before God scared. We come before Him in reverence and in awe. We don't fear the death and judgment of condemnation, but we come and fear the Almighty God, as we read and heard about this morning, that Creator of all things, not losing sight of who He is. And I think today in our, I don't know the best way to say it, but the relaxed culture that we live in. And I was talking to a guy the other day, and he would only refer to the Lord as, he would say, well, it's a God thing. It was a God thing. What do you mean it's a God thing? It's the Lord Jesus Christ who does these things, who works in us and through us. And it was kind of just a generic way of wanting to kind of be spiritual but not be too committed. And we need to stand and fear God, the Almighty God. Go to Psalm 33 and read with me in verses 4 through 9. We stand before the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. In verse 4 of Psalm 33, we read, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water of the seas together as a heap, and He lays up the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Saints, do we fear God? Do we stand in awe of our Heavenly Father, the one who spoke this world into existence? He created all things from nothing. He commanded and it stood fast. I pray that we fully appreciate who our Heavenly Father is. And as I said, I don't have the word for it. There's something about people that they kind of want to keep it at an arm's length and make Him kind of a fishing buddy that they see on the weekends. It's there, and I'll talk about it a little bit, but I don't want to commit to really who God is and what He wants to do in my life. To think the Almighty God who created all of this chose to come and die for me and to dwell in me. To think God is big enough to create everything that we see and yet small enough to live in my heart. I pray that stands, makes you want to stand in awe of Him. It does me. And again, we think of Job, as we've read lately. He was a man that was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. We too can follow his example and fear God and shun evil, stand in awe of Him. In Psalm 119, "Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." What a comforting passage to know that the persecutions we face, the trials that we face, pale in comparison to who our God is and what He is doing in us through them. Stand in awe of His word. Rejoice in His word as one who finds great treasure. To pick up the word of God and to have this priceless treasure in our hands to be able to read and allow to transform and guide us. We can stand and rejoice. We can be excited to read the word of God. We can be excited to be transformed. We know in Jude it says, "He is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." And I pray that it brings exceeding joy, that when it's time to assemble ourselves together, that we have joy. That, you know, sometimes there's things going on that we have to stop doing or things we have to put off. But I pray that we have a joy to get gathered up, to get all the kids dressed up and fine shoes and coats all spread through the house, as frustrating as it can be sometimes, but to have that joy. And I pray my children see, Dad's excited. It's time to go to church. Let's be excited and go with Him. I pray that's our desire. And as we go, we are blessed to be in the presence of God. We are blessed to assemble ourselves together. Going back to our psalm, these virtues that we see blessings that come from them. It says in verse 9, it says, "He guides in justice the humble. In verse 10, it says, the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth for those who keep his covenant. In verse 12, it says, those who fear the Lord dwell in prosperity. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But by simply allowing the Lord to work in our lives and to direct our paths on a daily basis, it brings great benefit. We have that Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is in me, bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits. And again, we don't come just for the benefits. We come to be spiritually nurtured, to be fed the word of God, to grow up in all things into him who is our head, that we may, as we also read later in that psalm, that we should be renewed like eagles, that our mouths should be fed with good things. Again, it is pleasing to the Lord when we humble ourselves, when we keep his word, when we heed it, and when we stand in awe of him. And we come to that place daily. To me, like I said, just a simple lesson to me, a simple outline of our daily walk. And I got back to verse 14 at the end of all that. The secret place belongs to those who fear the Lord. And to think, again, that the Almighty God would share that place of closeness and intimacy with you and I. But it's reserved for those who daily yield, who daily keep his word, who daily want to be with him. The secret has the meaning here of, it's often used of a privy council met for deliberation, and it has the thought of an intimacy with Yahweh. To think in the natural place of those who are the closest to me, those whom I share secrets with. Again, the obvious one came to me is my marriage. My wife is the one to whom I share everything with, my helpmate, my closest friend. But when we first met and when she first started trying to court me, I kept her back a little bit so that I didn't want to share all those close things of my heart with her. So I waited till I got to know her a little better before I started sharing those things. And if you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona I'll sell you as well. But as we came to know each other, as we had a relationship and we began spiritually to understand where each other was at, and we studied the Word of God together, and we came to that place where we were going to be married, we began to share the closeness that I share with nobody else outside the Lord. And what a marvelous relationship it is, and what a picture of us in Christ, that relationship of drawing so near to him that we can share the secrets of him. Matthew Henry had this to say about this passage. He said, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. They understand his word, for if any man do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God. Those that receive the truth and the love of it and experience the power of it best understand the mystery of it. They know the meaning of his providence and what God is doing with them better than others. He calls them not servants but friends, as he called Abraham. They know by experience the blessings of the covenant and the pleasures of that fellowship which gracious souls have with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This honor is available to all his saints. We know by experience the mercy and the grace of God. We know that tenderness, that calling in, that being able to stand in the shadow of the Almighty. It is reserved for those who by their life and their experience come to know him by trusting and yielding and obeying their lives to him, submitting themselves to him. How great is the goodness of our God and Savior. And let's go to Psalm 31 in verse 19. In Psalm 31:19, it says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Oh, how great is the goodness that God has laid up for us as we fear him, as we draw in, to be drawn into the secret place of his presence, to be hid in his pavilion, that shelter from the storm of this world that we live in. What a blessed privilege is ours to be welcome to the secret place of the Lord. He lays it up for us as we come to know him, as we draw near to him. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. He is ever present. Whom else would we want to draw nigh unto? Who else has the words of life but our Lord and Savior. The Lord takes pleasures in those who fear him. And to think, again, my mind is not real big as it is, and it gets overwhelmed real easy when I think about these things. But to think the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Saints, we can please the Lord. What a blessed spot we are in. What an amazing privilege we have to please the Almighty God. I pray that we desire this coveted place, not just to get something for ourselves, but to realize whom it is that we are drawing nigh unto, the one who loves us, the one who stores up goodness for us, the one who takes pleasure in us. In Matthew we read, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Let us be those few who find that closest, most intimate spot with the Lord. The invitation is to all. It's not exclusive in any fashion. He wants all to come. Again, in the Gospels, the story of Simeon and Anna. And Anna says, "Those who looked for the redemption of the Lord and spoke to him who looked for those." Are we looking for the Lord? Are we daily looking upward unto the Lord to draw us nearer? And again, it's something that we have to remember from time to time. I try to make a purpose in the morning as I get up out of bed before I stand up just to get my mind right before the Lord. And as we read in that psalm this morning, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight." I pray daily for that to happen. And obviously, I don't always accomplish it, but let it daily be our desire to please him, to be humble before him, to want to know more of his word, and to be glad when we have the opportunities. And we all have busy lives. We all have jobs and tasks that we have to accomplish. But in those all, we can honor the Lord, and we can draw nearer to him and to behold his beauty and his goodness. Let's go to Revelation 19 as we close tonight. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" Again, a familiar passage, but I pray that daily we are wanting to allow him to work in us these righteous acts of the saint. The wife here makes herself ready, and just in the natural, getting married is a lot of work. There's a lot of things to get done before that marriage day comes. Let us make ourselves ready, for that marriage of the Lamb is coming. And I pray daily that we would remember as we walk, we can draw nearer to him. We can come and be hid in the secret place of the Lord Almighty. We can be faithful, and as we are faithful, we will be granted this closest place. And as, again, trying to wrap my head around the thought of the Lord wants us, he wants me, he wants you to draw nearer daily, to come into the secret place and that deep fellowship with him and his son. Saints, we are blessed. I pray that, as it was for me, just a simple outline, a simple summary of our daily walk and the daily challenges we have, but the tremendous reward that is waiting for us. The Lord bless you.